What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes, your two cents of basketball. We're live on location from the 34th edition of the Dolphin Classic, and I'm joined by the Sand Master, Evans. How are you doing, man?
Good, man. Enjoying the crowd right now. Energy's good. Everyone's really excited. We got the women's finals right now, so the pace is good and competition's high.
Yeah, no, this is an amazing tournament. This is my first time checking it out. I've always wanted to come. I've never had the opportunity. This is one of the, I would say, staple basketball events in Vancouver. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Dolphin Park is in its 34th annual right now, and this is, I think, they've moved a few times. We're at currently South Arm Community Center, and previously I think it was at Thomas Haney, and then the original place was obviously Dolphin Park. So yeah, new court, great competition, and a lot of people just shooting around right now. We got Clay from HD training, crossing up kids. We got Coach Yoni getting ready for his three-point competition. So yeah, all around, lots of good folks out here.
And, you know, we got to talk about a bit, the people behind this. Obviously, if no one has caught the documentary, we got some of the OGs here on the court. So we've already met Bruce, who, if you Google the Dolphin Park documentary, he's featured there. And we're hoping to get a chance to chat with him very quickly about the tournament. But it's a tradition now, and that's amazing to see. You don't get to see a lot of people or a lot of tournaments to live over, you know, a decade, let alone 34 years.
Totally. I mean, do I dare say this is kind of like our version of the Rucker Park Classic? I mean, there's
Absolutely,
not too many
yeah.
tournaments out here that draw a crowd and has been ongoing for this long. So definitely a great tradition out here in Richmond, and hope they just keep continuing doing this.
And the tournament is certified by NCAA Division One.
Right.
So, you know, throughout the years, we've seen local legends, we've seen university prospects coming out to ball here against the best of the best, you know, Vancouver, the Pacific Northwest, and gosh, I'm going to dare to say from other states, from other provinces, they just come here and ball.
Yeah, no, I mean, right after this women's finals, there's a three-point comp and then a dunk comp, and then the finals, I believe, is King Handel's team representing Burnaby. And they're playing against G2. So definitely some high competition, some high caliber names, and yeah, it should be a good finals.
So we're going to come back once we get to a chance to chat with Bruce or with anyone else that I think we have Coach Yoni after he goes into the three-point comp. But we'll check back with you guys, so stay tuned. And look who we stumbled upon here at the Dolphin Classic. Coach Clay, how are you doing, man? We miss you.
Doing good. I miss you guys too, man. How's everyone been?
So far, so good. Coach Clay, here, tell us, you've participated in the Dolphin tournament before, right?
Yeah, oh, most definitely. I think I've won it three or four times. I've been playing it since high school with Randy Noor and the guys. That was able to learn a lot. I think it helped my growth and development as a person and as a player. I encourage everyone to be out here.
I was just going to ask you, you know, what does it mean to be part of such a traditional tournament? But I guess you just answered my question. Have you participated in any of the three-point competitions or slam dunk competitions?
Yeah, I got a photo up right there in the dunk competition.
Oh, you're on the banner.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Josh kind of passed me down the title, and I won it for a few years, and then I kind of took a little break.
So, did you participate this year in the Dolphin?
Yeah, I was in it. I was unable to make the first 2 days. I just had to take care of the family and handle my own business, but I was here today, and today's been amazing. I heard it was awesome yesterday, or there's tons of people out here, but it's packed today, and the finals it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I know the vibe here is amazing, and we're just wrapping up the women's game where it seems like Team Toko is winning by a large margin. But Coach Clay, we know you're a Cali fan, and now the California teams in the NBA are stacked. Now Kawhi is going to the Clippers, AD is now a Laker, Westbrook went to the Rockets. What are your thoughts on those crazy trades?
Oh, I'm excited. I think the NBA is the most exciting it's ever been right now. It's just incredible. LA versus LA, like, I don't think you could write a movie better than that. You have Houston that got Westbrook. You got James Harden reunited. They look excited. I imagine big things. I'm sure all of us at one point has imagined, yo, what if these guys were together again?
And it's kind of crazy to think that OKC had Ibaka, they had Westbrook, James Harden, and KD, and now they don't have anyone.
Oh, it was, man, I feel bad for OKC, but honestly, most great teams that go through it at one point. Chicago's gone through it, New York's thing going through
for the past 40 years.
maybe New York's the outlier right here. Maybe they just stay going through it. But look, Brooklyn was in the NBA Finals at one point, and now they're back here. Well, it was New Jersey Nets, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Every team goes through it, even the Lakers.
So the million-dollar question, Clippers or Lakers?
Hey, either way, it's L.A., baby.
No. I need you to commit right now. Clippers or Lakers?
Honestly, the Lakers should win.
My man, welcome back to the podcast. I miss you.
The Lakers look deep. Like, you look at that squad, you have proven talent at the highest levels. Boogie Cousins, before he got hurt, he was the number one center in the league. You got AD. He is the number one power forward in the league. You have LeBron James. You have Rondo. This team is deep. They're scary. And if they click, how do you stop that? This is maybe the greatest team ever assembled.
I don't think the NBA has ever been this balanced before, and that's exciting. It's exciting to see that it's not going to be just the Warriors and the Cavs. It's honestly going to be a true battle in both conferences.
I think there's three tiers right now. There's the top echelon, which LA and LA, I think, are sitting in there. Like, I don't think anyone else is on their level right now. They just got to worry about chemistry, continuity, getting together. But then the second tier, the two-star teams, yeah, they are exciting. I think after that, it's about 8 to 12 teams deep. After that, that's the bottom tier.
Yeah, no, it's going to be an amazing season. I can't wait.
What about Utah?
Oh, of course, Utah. No, those guys are loaded now. They got Mike Conley. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert.
Denver's upgraded.
I was just talking to Evans, I think, and I don't think that actually the Lakers or the Clippers are going to end up first in the West, just out of chemistry. But Utah and Denver, especially Denver, they're basically running it back. So they don't have chemistry issues to worry about versus the LA teams do. So they are my pick to be early leaders in the Western Conference.
Oh, I agree, definitely. Denver's just added pieces that they've pretty much been practicing with the whole time. Like, these guys have been working out together, they've been training together, sweating together. The teams that are just coming together, I expect them to get it together in the playoffs. But yeah, as for the regular season, Houston's going to be strong. They're adding a big piece, but I think it's going to work well. Denver's going to be strong. Utah's going to be strong. Don't sleep on the Pelicans.
They're going to be fun to watch. I don't know if they're playoffs bound, but they're going to be definitely fun to watch.
I'm excited to watch them. I think Lonzo Ball is the perfect fit for that team. I think Zion's, like, everyone on paper in my mind meshes so well together.
Where do you think CP3 is going to end up?
It's scary to say, but like, if he ends up in LA, I'll be like, I think it's only right that he goes to LA.
I was just talking to Evans on the way here. You know, there's a scenario where the Lakers maybe trade a couple of pieces and CP3 is a Laker. After this many years, after David Stern banned that trade, he might be a Laker after all, and pairing up with LeBron, with the banana boat buddy.
Well, if they can't, if the Pelicans can't find a trade offer, I think they have to waive him and eat it. I know they don't want to do that, but if that happens, Chris Paul is free to go wherever he wants.
That's true. And the Thunder did say that they're expecting that CP3 does not play a single game in a Thunder uniform. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I absolutely, like, I don't think he should either. I think, like, if worse comes to worse, you just eat it, because I don't think anyone's going to go out of their way to make that kind of trade. Especially, like whoever takes that trade is losing. Like, it's no disrespect to Chris Paul. Great player, and I think he's still got a lot of left in the tank. But contract-wise, like, money-wise, he's going, he'll be 38, making, like, $30-something million a year. That's not what you want to see. That's not the kind of dollars where you want to be putting in. So if they eat it, they're still set up. They have tons of draft picks. Yeah. I think they're set up to be good. It's just who's coming up in the draft.
Yeah, I know it's going to be crazy. We'll obviously have you back to have a bit of a preseason show once the time comes. But we're going to move now to, I think, the three-point competition this time around. Coach Clay, thank you so much again. Remember to check out _HD training. You've been training people like crazy. I see your Instagram. It's always busy.
Every day. We're training every day, twice a day, three times a day. If guys are hungry, you know, we're here to feed them.
There we go. And also very affordable. So make sure that you check out _HD Training. And thanks again, man. We miss you.
Yeah, man. I miss you guys too, man. Let's enjoy the night.
All right. Let's check out what the 3-point competition and the slam dunk contest has for us. So we'll check back with everyone. We're back on the 34th edition of the Dolphin Classic Tournament. And Evans, I cannot tell you how excited I am to be in front of basketball royalty. We have Bira and Bruce, some of the founders from the tournament. How's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks. Thanks for coming out.
Really good. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having us. Again, we're so excited to have a chance to chat with you guys. Yeah. Let me just ask you, when you guys started out, did you ever think it was going to become this massive event that we have today?
Absolutely not. Like, we were honestly, and no exaggeration, we were year to year. Yeah. So after the tournament, because it was a lot of work, we was like, no, we're never doing this again. And then come January, and the hype starts happening, and then, you know, it's just momentum builds, and then we're doing it again. And then the following year, so on and so on, and next thing you know, like, you know, it's worth 34 years.
How has it been to put it together every year? And, you know, you have your challenges, obviously, but, you know, you guys drive the community here, and you have so many great athletes coming out. How does it feel to now be part of, you know, that legendary club of people that have made an event that transcends cultures, that transcends generations?
Yeah, like Bira said, when we first started, we were definitely year to year. We were so young. We were just all 19 years old, and it just sort of happened year to year. But each year, a little bit, it grew organically, and it got a little bit bigger and a little bit better, and it expanded a little bit at a time. I think we grew like that, and it was very good for us.
Yeah.
It was, it just did a life of its own as the years went by. So now, many, many decades later, 3 decades later, plus 4 years, 34th tournament, I can't believe we're still doing it. But really, the reason we still do it is because we're all friends. It's kept us together. It's kept us doing something we love. We all love basketball our whole lives. And it's our passion project to do together, work together. And we get to hang out. We get to go to dinner. We get to talk on the phone. It's just keeping us together. And it's grown beyond that, too. It's not just the four of us. There's so many people that help us. And we're actually into our generations of people that have helped us. Bira's kids are so active in the tournament now. TJ's kids, Tony's kids. So for myself, I don't have kids, but I see it through the kids' eyes, and it's so amazing.
Yeah, speaking on the longevity of the tournament, we just watched Bira's daughter just compete in the 3-point competition. So it must mean a lot for you to see like generations coming up and like, continuing the tradition and participating now too, right? So where do you see like the younger generation? Are they going to take this and like expand it, or is this like your guys' baby for now?
I think at some point we're always going to be involved. I mean, Bruce has been really the backbone of this tournament in the last few years, and that's how it's always been done. When one of us have something going on in our lives, we kind of step back a bit, and then somebody steps in, takes over. And reason it's gone this far is because the real backbone of this tournament is family. You know, so we're not in it for money, we're not in it for anything else but the satisfaction of everybody else enjoying their weekend. And most of all, we organize this from the perspective, from the player's perspective. So we want to make sure when they come out, they're going to have their weekend's worth, and they're not going to come out of this tournament and say, man, we could have been in Kelowna, or we could have been somewhere else. So,
yeah, I mean, on that note, because it's such a high competitive tournament, like recently you guys are NCAA certified as well, right? Like, can you speak on like that process and how it, you know, brings up the level of competition here and maintains?
I remember when Bira's wife was the first person to get us NCAA certified. But just before that, this is going back maybe 10 years ago, I'm not so great with all of the years that are meshed together, but about 10 years ago, before Rose did it all for us, I contacted the NCAA offices in St. Louis, and the guy was so surprised. He said, no one from Western Canada, he said, where are you from? I said, Vancouver. He said, and there was a pause, and he said, no one's ever tried before from Western Canada at any level, kids, anything. This is before AAU was very popular, but not as exploded as it is now. He said, you're the first ones who have ever contacted us west of Toronto. And actually, to this day, other than some youth AAU tournaments, we're still the only adult tournament in Western Canada that most years is NCAA certified. So what it does for the athletes is if they want to play. And then it's most of them are back at school doing stuff. But even this summer, we have a couple guys playing. They can play knowing that they're not breaking any rules back at school, and the NCAA will understand that they're playing in a sanctioned tournament. Now, there's a second thing as well that I didn't even realize until this year. One of the captains told me. We have a team this year that is called the Vancouver Huskies. They're organized by a local guy, well, originally from Toronto, but a Canadian guy. But almost everyone on this team came from the southern United States. And the reason they came to our tournament is because they knew that we were NCAA certified. Now, they're not even college players anymore. They're men. But these are all guys that are trying to, a lot of players nowadays, they film their games, their tournaments, everything they're in. And so what he did was he filmed his game action, and then he went over, and there's a poster over there on the fence, and he filmed it, and it said NCAA certified. Now, he told me this story yesterday. He got on the phone with his agent. He sent him the video. He scored 28 points in the game. His name's Jamal Mullings. He sent the video. He has a job for next year in Eastern Europe playing pro basketball now because of Dolphin basketball.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so because we're NCAA certified, the people over in Europe said, oh, that must be a pretty good tournament, and you played well in that tournament. We're going to give you a shot on our team.
That's absolutely amazing.
It's being worthwhile.
That's absolutely amazing. I mean, I watched a documentary not too long ago, and it's funny to think that, you know, you guys went from, you know, this tournament with friends and giving out beer as a prize to now guys are getting contracts in Europe just from playing here. I mean, that's just mind-blowing, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And like we said, we organize this on a player's perspective. And we actually been, you know, advised, hey, you guys should make this a money tournament. You should make this. You know what? We're all players. We never had to play for money. We play for pride. And that's the perspective we always take. You know, when we come out here and play, we play hard, we play for pride. And when we get off the court and we want to meet the other players and socialize, we want to see what players are like off the court. You know, we want to see you without your game face and see what you're actually like. Because you know what? There's a lot of players. You know, I'll tell you an example. I mean, NBA example, Danny Ainge. Was there any players that liked that guy in the NBA when he was playing? No. But you know what? Off the court, he was probably a nice guy, but nobody ever probably found that out. And so what we want to encourage is guys to play hard on the court and play for pride and then come off and then meet the other players.
Oh, that's fantastic. And, you know, just wrapping up on this, but I saw you have a board with a ton of photos there, and I've seen some legends, some NBA players there. Who are some of the players that you remember the most from all these years that have either played or visited the tournament?
The only NBA player that actually played in our tournament was Jamal Crawford 3 or 4 times. We used to have two teams coming up from Seattle. Now, sort of our heyday was in the late 90s through the 2000s. And it was all back at our original home, Dolphin Park, which is only about a mile from where we are now. We could walk there in 10 minutes. It was, when we were in our heyday, it was amazing. The crowd was, I mean, we're great now, but the crowd was so big. And we were so fortunate to have Jamal playing and the teams from Seattle. And also, not just that, players coming from all across Canada to play in this tournament. We had so many. The last time Canada made the Olympics was the year 2000. In the year, and we were fortunate, on that team, there was two players from Richmond. Andrew Mavis and Novell Thomas, and they grew up playing in this tournament, and then they played pro overseas for many years, real high-level players, and they, other than the times they were playing with the national team, they would always come back and play in our tournament. And Novell is here today in the beer garden, and he's now the women's coach at Brandon. But Novell was an amazing player. The most amazing game in my memory at Dolphin was, I don't, again, remember the year because I'm not great with them, but I would say about 2004, and
was that at Tom's Haven?
Back at Original Dolphin. Original Dolphin, one court, only 12 teams. Unfortunately, we only had one court. We couldn't have a women's division. So it was all elite men's and men's teams. And we had the two teams from Seattle. We had a team from Canada that featured the guys I was talking about. I think at least there was the two I mentioned, Andrew Novell, Pete Garacci, and Sean Swords, all were 2000 Olympians. They were playing against Jamal Crawford, several guys that were like first team Pac-12 All-Stars, and guys, the best players in Seattle is what Ed told me he brought, and I believe him. They were amazing. Alvin Snow, like a great player. And it was a classic, and it came down to literally free throws at the end. The Americans went up huge at halftime. The Americans were amazing athletes. The Canadians full court pressed them in the second half, stealing the ball from Jamal Crawford, the slickest handle in the league. Novell ripping him off at half court, going in for a layup, right? It, like these on a 4-4 court, they went back and forth in the end, and everyone thought actually the Canadians would win. In the end, Kyle Russell, who made our junior national team, never played on the national team, he had two at the line to win the game. We were down one, and he couldn't either send it to overtime or win the game, and he missed both. And it was heartbreaking, right? Canada could have won that game. And that was a great final. And that was the level of play in that particular year. Amazing basketball.
Now, I wonder if there's like old footage of this in archive.
And you know what was great? Steve Nash came to that game. He didn't play. This is when he was the MVP of the NBA. And he sat, so his friends who played in the Olympics and some other guys were on that team. I remember sitting right behind their, a couple rows behind their bench, and Steve was on the bench, and he was nervous. I've never seen someone so nervous watching his friends play. And when a timeout came, he ran to get their water, like his friend's water. He was like their little mascot. He was their manager. The MVP of the NBA was the manager for his friends. That's how much he loved his friends. And sitting on the other end of the bench, and not coaching, but just excited and nervous, was Jay Triano, the coach of our national team. And these two guys just were there for their friends.
Wow.
And my dad and mom, and as well as Bear's parents and all of our parents who are so supportive, would come every year to watch. That particular year, I remember my dad phoning me in the middle of the afternoon, like not even the finals yet. Right. And he said, Bruce, he goes, we can't find parking anywhere. And I said, because normally we can park maybe a block or two away and walk. And my parents are a little bit older at this point. And I said, Dad, Steve Nash is at the park. And we probably had just this court and the area around it, we probably had 4,000 people in this little, no one knows the numbers, but that's what people have said.
That's true.
It was an amazing weekend. And every weekend since, and every weekend before, it for all of us is just as amazing.
It's a great tradition.
Yeah, it's a great tradition.
Last question before we let you guys go. What do you think is the future for Dolphin Park?
We're still taking it year by year, but we do, there's always problems and always issues. We've always worked so hard. We're stubborn. We're stubborn people. And we're hardworking guys. We all came up from good, hardworking families. But there's big obstacles all the time too, not naming any of them, and people we have to work with. And but I know the players love it. The players that play, I know they love it. And they have a good time, and that's what's most important to us. Like Bira mentioned, it's a wonderful social aspect of the tournament as well. And I think the people, sounds corny, I'm kind of a corny guy, but I think the tournament is a reunion wrapped around a basketball tournament. It's as simple as that. It's a reunion all every year for us to get together, hang out. I see people I wouldn't see otherwise, and I know Bear does too.
I think what's happened over the years is the AAU basketball kind of threw us off a little bit, because one thing we always had in our tournaments is a lot of kids. You know, I see more kids here today than I've seen in previous tournaments in the last 7 years. Since the AAU basketball started, they do so many trips, they're gone. Right? So what we have to do is sit down and decide what's the best date, and we can come to agreement of a date that works for, you know, kids in the area, the best basketball players around, and then we'll go from there.
Well, I mean, from our end, if there's anything that we can do to help, we'll be happy to, because this is such an amazing thing for the community. And as basketball nerds, we cannot thank you guys enough for everything that you've done.
We're all basketball nerds. I think everybody here is a basketball nerd. In our generation, we said it was Basketball Jones. Someone that was just jonesing for basketball, right? All the time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Bira. Thank you, Bruce, so much. And thank you so much for everything. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you.
Thanks, man.